rapidinho.
The Partial Breakaway Podcast with your hosts Nick and Junior and producer Vince, bringing you elite fantasy hockey information to help you win your fantasy leagues and win at life.
Episode 30 of the Partial Breakaway Fantasy Hockey Podcast. Nick is nodding his head. I'm not sure what's going on there, but welcome to a new episode of the Partial Breakaway Fantasy Hockey Podcast, where the sky is falling in Toronto and the sun is rising in Montreal. What an eventful week it was in Eastern Canada. How are you guys doing?
Christmas is around the corner. We're here.
Yeah, we've made it this far. We're still alive. Unfortunately, we're not in the same room again. Because if we were in the studio that is damaged by water, at least we would have had producer Vince on the roadcaster being able to lower the volume properly and not make you sound like you're not loud enough.
Wow. Look at Nick giving me a compliment. Jesus, Murphy.
Oh, I mean, it took you. How long did it take you to actually learn that roadcaster?
A while. And now, when I finally almost got it fully learned, it decides that water was going to go in it. So,
and it's going to be like this for a little while still. So
we're missing our equipment. That's for sure.
I'll do my best to do my best with what we have. Guys, it was a very eventful week in the NHL this week between trades, disappointing teams, coaches and captains not getting along, goalies getting their first shutouts, rookies scoring their first goals.
Goalies getting injured.
Goalies come back from injury. Like, honestly, there's so much to talk about. I think this should be one hell of an episode. Shall we start? Shall we get right into it?
I think we should get right into it.
Nick, you know what we're missing?
Follow, like,
prescribe, no, subscribe.
Prescribe.
Prescribe a like.
Prescribe a like. We could use the likes.
No, Nick, before we move on, I was just saying, like, you haven't been doing your usual intros.
You're absolutely right. I think I'm discombobulated a bit by this virtual thing that we're doing now as opposed to in the studio. So either way, I'm hoping that it's still going to be a good episode, even without my lovely intro to start it.
The less you talk, the better this episode will be.
The whole point of this is so we talk.
I don't think Vince understands the point of a podcast yet, but he'll get there. He'll get there.
All right, here we go. I am the host of the Odd Man Rush today, where we take news and notes and trends of the NHL and turn them into 30-second takes. But these trends today will not take 30 seconds. They will take even more than 3 minutes. I can guarantee you that. So let's start off with fire. 'Twas the night before NHL holiday trade freeze when all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. We have a trade to announce. The Montreal Canadiens reacquire Philip Deneau from the LA Kings for a second-round pick.
We have a trade to announce.
Is Mark Bergevin our GM again? No? All right, Nick.
Actually, he's now the associate GM of... No, not Columbus. He's Buffalo the associate Sabres. GM of the Buffalo Sabres.
Sorry, Buffalo Sabres.
But yes, you're right. Kekalainen, who is the GM, used to be the GM at Columbus. Exactly. I can see how you got confused. Doesn't take much.
No, exactly. Tell me about Dano, Nick. Tell me about Dano and Montreal trading Columbus. I think it's Columbus's second-round pick.
That's right. The one that we got with Laine in order to take his full contract and dump him from Columbus.
So Dano, I'll just tell the listeners, Dano still has 2 years left at $5.5 million. Right now,
this year and next year.
This year, next year has 5 points, 30 games, but we know he was unsettled in LA. It's been something that's been brewing. So, Nick, talk to me.
Well, 7 of the last 8 years, I think he had 45 points or more. So he's been very consistent in who he is as an offensive player. Not very offensive. Let's call a spade a spade. This is not an offensive player that you're getting here. But defensively, he is still one of the top in the league. If you take a look at his underlying stats, and I think it was Jay Fresh that shared the card on social media. Basically, Dano was still one of the top defensive forwards, even this year that he wasn't putting up points. He was still one of the top defensive forwards in the league on 5-on-5. Still a pretty good face-off man, 53% on the face-off. And this basically gives Marty Saint-Louis more than one forward now, more than one center, I should say, that he could use for matchups. So a lot of pressure is off of Nick Suzuki with this trade. And if we're looking at the center market that has been almost non-existent, there's not a lot of centers that are available out there. Mm-hmm. You know, a second round pick is pretty fair value for a center who might be 34 years old and no retention from LA, by the way. So the whole 5.5 is on Montreal's books. Junior, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I would have wished it was a third, but I can see the value that LA saw in him, especially the market being so slim at center. Second round pick, it is what it is. The Canadians, at this point, they don't need draft picks. They don't need to actually draft players with them. They're not at that stage of their rebuild anymore. The most important thing to note out of all this is that it's alleviating responsibilities from Nick Suzuki, and it's been clear if you've been watching games over the last month, he hasn't quite been the same. And I think that's the biggest and most important news to come from this, is that Suzuki will feel lighter on his skates, if you ask me. As for Dano, what do I expect from him? Look, win faceoffs, play penalty kill, and just add some depth scoring when you can. You know, I don't think he's pacing for 14 points. I don't think he's a player who's going to be pacing for 14 points the rest of his career. I still think he can be close to a 40-point player. So hopefully, coming to Montreal, whatever was bothering him in LA, it's done, it's over, comes back home and rejuvenates a little bit and helps the Canadians hopefully make the playoffs.
Listen, you guys know my opinion. I'm not a fan of the move. I think this says more about Evans and how his struggles this year really forced this trade. Because last year they signed Evans to be their number three centerman. I mean, the money he was making. So it was, I think this is more on Evans than anybody else. Dano, I'm not expecting much offensively from Dano. When he was hitting those 50 points, 40 points, he was getting power play time. He was getting all that. He shouldn't be getting that with Montreal. I mean, he shouldn't be on the power play too with Montreal. You don't put him over Oliver Kapanen on the power play too. So, I mean, he's going to... The biggest thing is, like you guys said, I think Suzuki will benefit from this. And he'll hopefully win face-offs. Hopefully, he'll reunite with Gallagher. I just find if him and Gallagher are on the same line, it's a little bit of a older, slow line. But, I mean... Listen, the Habs weren't winning the cup, so I think this is just a move now and wait till the younger guys can come in and see what they really have.
Well, I think it's a bridge. Like this player is a good bridge for when those younger guys are ready, right?
Like an Owen Beck?
Not even. I would say Michael Hage.
No. Yeah.
But I'd be surprised if Philip Dano doesn't get a shot at the second line if that line starts to falter a little bit. So far, Oliver Kapanen has been doing very well, so there's no reason for you to remove Kapanen from that second line. But I wouldn't be surprised if at some point Philip Dano does become that second line center. And I would say second power play, it's very possible. It's very possible. You want to start with the puck on the power play, right? Yeah. 50%... 50% guy on the draw, 53% guy on the draw, could be a good fit there. I don't see why not.
At that point, you should just resign. If that's your prerogative, then at that point, you should just resign Christian Dvorak. with what he's doing.
I don't know. I mean, like Dvorak. Dvorak was good,
get
but
him for 4 or 5 years. Dano, you're getting him for 1.5.
Yeah, but Dano is 30. Dvorak Dano is 34.
So, Dvorak signed a 1-year contract at $5.4 million with Philadelphia. So yeah. It's exactly the same contract. Okay. But who cares? He's not as good a player. He's never been as good a player.
As Dano?
Yes.
Like how many points does Dvorak
have? Dano's one of the top 10 defensive forwards in the league.
Defensive, I'm saying, but you're saying put him on the power play too. You don't put Dano on a power play too. You can't tell me you put if Dvorak and Dano on your team, you don't put Dano over Dvorak on your power play too. That's my saying.
When everybody's healthy and Doc is going to be coming back after the holidays, your second unit's going to be something like Kapanen, Doc, Bolduc, Matheson, and Dobson. Like, I don't even think there's room for Dano.
No, but even when Dvorak comes back.
If you look at Dvorak's history, this year he's pacing for 57 points, which is great. He's never paced for that before in his career. He paced Dvorak for 33 points, 25 points, 36 points, 48, 45, 45. So Dano has outpointed him throughout his career so far. So, yes, Dano is a better player than Dvorak. There's no questions about that. And history shows it.
But Vince, to your point, like we're comparing him to Dvorak, but the reason they didn't sign Dvorak was because they expected more from Evans, right?
Yeah.
This move is in consequence of what Evans wasn't providing.
Exactly.
And on top of that, he's a left-handed center, something the Canadiens don't have down the line. So, yeah, that's what it comes down to.
And we should mention also that Kirby Dach, right? He's just showing that he can't stay healthy at center. If Kirby Dach was healthy right now, I don't know if the Canadiens would have made this move, or maybe they still would have because they needed that defensive presence that they don't have right now. Guys, don't forget, the Habs are the youngest team in the NHL. Bringing in a Dano, who's a veteran presence that could help you out on the face-off circle, that could take some hard minutes away from some of these young guys that are struggling to have consistency, you kind of need that in this team. And I think it showed this year so far. Right, we've seen the ups and downs of the Canadiens and how they can't maintain leads. They can't protect the lead.
Yeah.
Last 2 minutes of every period, they're letting in goals. These are things that Dano could help with.
And don't forget about the new hook injury either.
New hook injury hurts as well, and he's probably not going to be back this year.
Yeah.
So Dano is going to be a good fit for now, at least until you have some healthy bodies coming back.
Bing!
Yeah, I'm looking for it.
There you go. To the second trade that happened right before the freeze.
Literally the 11th hour.
Yeah, Mason Marchman got traded from Seattle to Columbus. Seattle acquired a 2026 fourth-round pick and a 2027 second-round pick. Junior, what do you think about this move? Now that Marchman's out of the team with full of second liners, does his fantasy relevance come back?
I mean, he didn't take long to get acclimated to his new team. He scored within, 24 seconds or whatever it was. But he's on a line with Adam Fantilli and Ken Johnson as we speak. He was never really a point producer. Last year, he had a career year. He was huge in the playoffs. I think he's more of a playoffs guy than a regular season guy. But look, if you're in a league that, you know, counts hits or whatever, he'll get you a hit a game. Other than that, like, he doesn't provide much. He's
a 20 goal scorer.
Yeah, he could be a 20 goal scorer, a 45 point guy.
This but year again, though, his he's not there.
Yeah, he was struggling big time this year. So with Seattle, a new team, we'll see. We'll see what he does with Columbus. Maybe they play a different style. It'll help him.
Maybe he had the same problem as Dano.
Yeah, but he costs twice as much.
But he's 30 years old.
And he's only on power play too.
Well, he's 30 years old as opposed to 32.
He's not even on power
34. Play. Dano's 34. I don't know where you're getting 32 from.
No, he's 32.9. He's 33 years old.
On Puckpedia, he's 32.
He's 30. Yeah, he's going to be 33 in February.
Nick,
anyways, Marchment. Back to Marchment.
10% shooting percentage, which is lower than his career average. Not by much. But hopefully Columbus is going to be a different style of play for him that fits him better. I mean, this is a 6'5", 30-year-old player. 4.5 mil per year. He's played more minutes this year than he's ever played before, and he still can't produce, which is a little bit concerning, to be honest with you. 39 hits also is about his average, just over a hit per game, like Junior said before. Not enough shots. I don't know. I find he's a good bottom six player. I don't see him as a top sixer, so I don't know how fantasy relevant that is. Maybe in a hits league, but I don't see how fantasy relevant.
Even at that, in a hits league, just one hit a game. It's not enough. It's not enough.
He doesn't do enough.
Bing.
For fantasy. In real life, much better player.
Josh Norris, since December 1st, has been on his team's nice list and on the opponent's naughty list. 10 points in 8 games. Nick, if this guy could have stayed healthy, like, how good could he have been?
He's a talent, man. He's a talent. And it's really too bad that he is one of those papier-mâché, loose-leaf paper players, because I find Norris, if only he played 82 games, would pace, like, he's pacing this year for 91 points, guys.
That's wild.
But he's only played 9 games, right? Like, so he has 10 points in 9 games played. That's freaking amazing for Josh Norris. I think Buffalo could really use him. Buffalo was struggling. Now they have a brand new general manager. They have Mark Bergevin to come in and save the day and create a prospect pool that could really, you know, do something.
Yeah.
And by the way, guys, if you guys know Kekalainen is one of the best drafters in the history of the NHL. He hits on 22% of his draft picks, which is actually almost double other people that are touted as good drafters. So I think this is Josh Norris has an opportunity here, especially if he plays with Tage Thompson. If Benson's coming back soon from injury, there's some pieces that are lining up here, and Kekalainen did tell them, I want to see playoff. I want to see competing for the playoffs. I don't want to see bottom of the lineup or bottom of the standings type team. So let's hope that this is going to be a breath of fresh air for Buffalo, because I have Tage Thompson in a pool, and I really need him to come back to that 40-goal Tage Thompson.
Yeah. Benson is back. He scored today.
Perfect.
The beauty of it, though, is that he doesn't even play on a line with Tage Thompson. Right now he's with Austin and Alex Tuck.
Yeah.
And, okay, they played together on the power play, so half of his points right now came on the power play, which is an excellent sign, too. But, I don't want to get too much into detail with Kekalainen, but, like, in my eyes, he's a little bit overrated. This guy gets recycled every now and then, and he might have a good draft record, but doesn't know how to build a winning team with what he drafts. So, yeah.
It's okay. He has Bergeron right there. He'll show him.
That's going to be great.
Bing!
By the way, I don't know if you guys follow the Scotian Canadian on Twitter or X. Scotian Canadian, he is somebody that had a YouTube channel. I don't know if he still does. I think he still does have a YouTube channel. I'm going to try to get him on the show one day, but he was like a Steve Dangle for the Montreal Canadiens. Big Bergevin supporter, by the way.
Are you sure you want to get him on?
I'm going to be absent. I'm going to be absent for that episode.
So the reason I want to get him on is because he actually came out and said that half of the core that you see right now is all Bergevin guys. So Nick Suzuki, Cole Caulfield, these are all guys that, and there was
you
others.
Guys need to stop saying
don't open that kind of worms.
People need to.
I need to open this kind of worms.
People need to stop saying Nick Suzuki because he wanted Cody Glass. Nick Suzuki
doesn't matter.
He still got him.
Nick Suzuki.
No, because it was given to him.
It was
him.
His trade. He pulled the trigger.
Yeah. With Cody Glass, he wanted. Anyways,
doesn't
Nick
matter.
Bing. Okay.
I'm saying.
Liam Holmgren, since the trade to Vancouver as part of the package for Quinn Hughes, has had 4 points in his last four games with Vancouver. Now, Liam was a first-round pick for the Minnesota Wild, so he was just not getting the I don't know if he wasn't getting the opportunity or what it was with Minnesota, but it seems with Vancouver, he's found a new life. So, Junior, do you think he can keep up, I'm not saying a point per game pace, but can he live up to a first round pick, a lower first round pick?
I don't know. I think if to manage expectations, he's a middle six guy. Actually, probably a bottom six guy more so than a middle six guy, I think. He's the type of guy that you'll be able... You know, every team has that player where they'll play on the fourth line, but then you get an injury and they'll do well on the second line for a week or two, and then they go stale and then they go back down. He's a guy that'll go up and down your lineup, and he'll have spurts of brilliance like he's having right now, and then he'll have spurts where he's not so good. The encouraging thing is that he's still very young, right?
He's 21. So he's 21, and he was drafted 19th overall.
He's on, according to Daily Faceoff right now, he's on the fourth line with Sasson and Linus Karlsson. And, you know, the Canucks are not a very deep team. So the fact that he's not higher up on that roster, for me, is a little concerning. But, again, he's 21. I'll give it time. He's on a new team. Despite that, though, he's been doing pretty well. And now I drafted him this year in loose bucks as a, you know, a future asset. And I was like, what the hell did I do? I just wasted a roster spot, you know. But since he's been to Vancouver, I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued. So I'll follow along to see exactly what happens here in Vancouver. But so far, so good.
Like, I look at Liam Holmgren and I say to myself, is this like Mason Marchment 2.0? Because he could bury it. He has a nice shot.
Yeah.
And he has a shot that he could beat goalies from distance as well. So, and he's a hitter. He's a guy that's maybe north and south as opposed to more of an east-west player. But he reminds me of a lot of Mason Marchment. So if you think that Mason Marchment's 45, 50 points with 20 goals is worth something in your league, I think that's what Liam Holmgren could turn into.
He has some decent peripherals too, like hits and hits.
That's all right, I just said that.
Bing. I mean,
David Kampf is on the second line in Vancouver.
Oh Christ! Yeah, but I mean,
couldn't cut it as a fourth liner for Toronto.
He couldn't cut it as a poor man stealing.
Nickelback. I think he could have cut it out for. Yeah. I mean, one of our biggest conversation starter last episode or two episodes ago was the Quint Hughes trade, where on TikTok, if I'm not mistaken, our video really got the conversation going and the mojos going from the Minnesota Wild and Avalanche fans. And then there was one comment from which fan, Drew?
Edmonton?
Yeah. They just decided to get into the conversation too.
Yeah, it got picked. It wasn't on this video a little bit, on this clip a little bit, but it was on the Colorado clip mostly.
Nice. Okay, so I mean, when we're talking about a fair trade, since the Quinn Hughes trade, Minnesota Wild are 5-1 because they lost to Colorado today, and Vancouver Canucks are 4-0. So, like, is this the definition of a win-win trade at the end of the day for both teams? Nick?
I mean, I think it's exactly the definition. Vancouver needed a reset. They needed a change. They got Boehm, who hopefully one day becomes their not exactly Quinn Hughes, but at least the top 15 defensemen points-wise in the league. And then having Boehm in this roster really helps alleviate some of the stuff that Quinn was doing. Having Marco Rossi on this roster really helps alleviate that second line center role that they were desperately missing, and still kind of missing because Elias Pettersson is injured, and so is Hedl. And then Holmgren coming in and maybe balancing their left wings a little bit, right? With Evander Kane and Drew O'Connor, Connor Garland. So, like, to me, I saw some Vancouver fans on Twitter actually saying the rebuild is over because they got three pieces that were all first-round picks. But it's a great start for Vancouver. It's a great start to a retool. Hopefully, they could have a couple more guys come in and good draft picks come in to really shore up this team.
Drew, yeah. Anything to add?
It's hard to say win-win. Obviously, the first instinct is it's win-win. But because there's so much left to see in order to understand what Vancouver received, you know, as of right now, we knew Quinn Hughes was still going to produce for Minnesota. That was inevitable. He's top three superstar defenseman in this league, maybe even top two, probably top two, actually. So from that point of view, Minnesota got the best player. They got a superstar. They win the trade. You know what I mean? But regardless if he signs an extension, I know a lot of people are coming at us on the clip saying if he doesn't sign an extension, Vancouver wins. No, they don't. They don't. Minnesota wins because they got a superstar that's going to help them this year and next year. Whatever happens after that happens, but it won't be his fault that Minnesota doesn't win a cup. You know what I mean? As for Vancouver, right now the pieces look great. And I agree. I think Vancouver did a fantastic job of acquiring those pieces. But, you know, we'll see where it goes from here. Bouillon has to become, like Nick said, that top 15 defenseman, which I think he can be. And Rossi's going to be your middle six guy. I think it's good depth for Pettersson. But if Pettersson doesn't become the Pettersson we know, this team is not going to be as good as people think, right? Pettersson's got to become Pettersson so everybody falls in place. So we'll see where it goes.
Bing! Now, to the city of brotherly love, or not so much love between these two. I mean, we've all seen the clip of Mitch Goff and Rick Tocchet talking, kind of getting at each other, Mitch Goff being a bit annoyed. And a lot of teams passed on Mitch Goff. That's how he fell with Philly. And now, is this the reason why? Now, the only thing I'll say is, I think Torella is a much more in-your-face coach than Tocchet is, and he never got into any confrontations with Torella. So now, is this just Tocchet going after Mitch Goff to try to get the best out of him, or is this just a marriage that won't last in Philly? Junior?
I mean, for those of you who have seen the video, it almost looks like Mishkov is going after Tocchet. Tocchet seems to be a little passive and trying to communicate from, like, he didn't look like pissed off and yelling at him. You know what I mean? Mishkov looked like Tocchet didn't know what the hell he was talking about. I don't know who that other man was next, if it was the assistant coach or if it's a translator or whatever, but Mishkov seemed to be talking more to him than to Tocchet. But look, I'm a big believer of where there's smoke, there's usually some kind of fire. So when these stories come out, it's not out of nowhere someone makes it up and says, Mishkov is not a coachable player, Mishkov this. Something, it's coming from somewhere. Now, to what extent, that's what you have to evaluate. So I'm not surprised this is happening, but this is also something that won't deter his point production down the line. He's still in his halfway through his second season in the NHL as a young guy. That attitude stuff could get regulated if that's the case right now. So I'm not out on Mishkov. Plus we have him in DPR. He better turn things around because we paid a lot to get him.
We did pay a lot to get him. Look, he's having a sophomore slump already this year. I mean, he
wait, what? He's having what? What?
Sorry? A sophomore slump.
Oh,
you know, the Vince
special. So they do exist, these sophomore slumps.
Yes, for non-elite players, they do. no, I'm kidding, Flyers fans, I'm kidding. But definitely a little bit concerning. I mean, I'm not concerned about him talking to his coach or assistant coach or whatever it is. It's just, you know, he came in overweight this training camp. Those comments about him not seeing eye to eye with the last coach, right? Which, and I mean, not a lot of people do see eye to eye with the last coach, Tortorella, in that sense. But you kind of hired a similar coach in Rick Tocchet, in the sense that he's very strict and very defensive oriented. You need Michkov to pan out. You need Michkov to work. So, to me, let's see how the rest of this season goes. Let's see next season. And I'm expecting him to score, to be a regular 35 to 40 goal scorer in this league. I just don't know how much of a superstar he will be. And I think that's going to hurt us in DPR, because we did pay a lot to get him.
Bing! To another disgruntled superstar and coach. Berube's comments after a loss was... he blamed the struggles on mental lapses and poor decision-making, saying the team needs to get over it and make better decisions through the game. His captain, Austin Matthews, came with a few comments after that, saying, "I think mentally we're fine. As shitty as it is losing, I thought the process was better. We had good energy all night. The process is something we can take and move forward." I mean, if you take these three comments that Matthew takes, it kind of contradicts what Berube was saying. So, like, is there smoke here? Like Junior says, Nick?
Is there smoke like somebody smoking up, or is there smoke like...
is there smoke like something's going to happen in Toronto very soon?
I don't think Toronto fans are very happy. I think Steve Dangle is going to have an aneurysm soon. I think that, like, all jokes aside, this is not the way that they were expecting this season to play out so far. At the end of the day, the goal is to make the playoffs, and as long as the Maple Leafs make the playoffs, everything else is going to be fine, because they are built a little bit for the playoffs. But, let's be honest, it's a little bit of a boring system with Berube. It's not that high-flying system that you've seen before. Stolarz is not the Stolarz of last year. He got injured as well, but he wasn't playing very well to begin with. And I know, because I drafted him in several drafts that I had for fantasy leagues, and it just didn't pan out. Joseph Woll's back now. Hildeby's having a good game, an off game, a good game, an off game. So... And your defense is freaking slow. I mean, this is the slowest defense I've ever seen assembled. There's not one person that can skate on this defense. I was watching, and yes, I know it's McDavid, but I was watching McDavid skating against the Maple Leafs, and he was just cutting through them like butter. Just like butter. Just going, nobody could move. They were pylons. It was nothing for them. I think that's a big, big problem. You know, you traded away a first to get Lawton. You traded away a first to get Carlo. You traded away Marner to get Roy. I mean, I know that was a different situation, but out of all of them, Roy looks like the best, but nobody else seems to fit. There's an identity crisis right now in Toronto.
Junior?
Junior, you're on mute.
Look at that.
He muted himself, and now he's pretending that he's trying to fix it.
Here we go. I was going to say, yeah, the identity crisis is that their best player is one of their worst players. And you know what? William Nylander's pacing for 95 points. Pretty good. Pretty good. Matthew Nyes is pacing for 74 points in his fourth year in the league. That's a career best. Pretty damn good. Austin Matthews? Old captain? Pacing for 63 points. Worst pace in his career. Worst in his rookie year, which was 69. You know what? I think it's time to put up or shut up for Austin Matthews, because he's the one guy that's been there from the beginning. They stripped off the captaincy from John Tavares and gave it to Austin Matthews. First of all, anytime that happens, something's definitely wrong in your room. Definitely wrong in your room, and they give it to possibly the worst guy there was to give it to. Then on top of that, you get rid of your 100-point player. But now the problem is beyond getting rid of Marner. I think Marner, the whole Marner thing is just a cherry on top of the cake for Toronto Maple Leafs haters. there's a deep problem in Toronto, and they're going to have no choice to blow this up. How many times can it be the coach's fault? Keefe was too nice. Berube's too tough. You know what? Berube's system might suck. He's a little too tough. But what does Berube's system have to do with the worst power play team in the league?
When you Austin have Austin Matthews,
William Nylander, Matthew Nyes on your power play with John Tavares, you're the worst. You're 32 out of 32 on the power play.
That's weird.
Guys,
that's
weird. Dude, come on. We got to stop this. At some point, it's time the players take accountability.
Junior, can you correct me? Is Mark Savard still the...
Yes, he is.
...offensive-minded assistant coach there that's
yeah,
in charge
of the
power play?
Yeah, I believe he's the power play. I believe so, yeah. He's still behind the bench, and I think he's the one responsible for the play.
Listen, it's not that bad in Toronto. I mean, Buffalo has more points than them. It can't be that bad.
No, guys, they're last in the Atlantic.
No, right? No. Second to last. Columbus is last.
Thank God for Columbus.
Columbus is last in the Eastern. No.
Look, having said that, I think they're only four points away from the Atlantic,
Vince.
Oh, sorry, yeah.
I think they're only 4 points away from a playoff spot, right? If I'm not mistaken, Junior?
I'll go check.
No, they're six points now.
No, now they're... Okay. Yeah, the Devils have 41 and they have 35.
But 6 points, but there's eight teams in between them and that spot. You know what I mean?
It's still very early in the season, though. Still very early in the season.
We're almost halfway.
I'm just very curious as... I think the spotlight needs to be on Matthews right now.
Yeah.
You know, you're getting paid like a superstar player. And yes, you're a former 69 goal guy. And, you know, you've scored 60 multiple times in your career. You know, it doesn't matter. You're getting paid $12 million for a 63 point pace this year. It's not good enough. It's not good enough. And, you know, you could blame the Berube system. You could blame whatever it is, but it just seems that they can't outscore their problems the way they used to.
Well, they can barely score.
And if Matthews is not on at all times, they can't score.
I don't know if you touched on it earlier, Nick, but Brad Treliving completely destroyed this team.
Okay, but before we get into that conversation, my question is, is Toronto's door even still open to be a contender in the NHL?
I don't think the door slammed shut that quickly. I understand what you're saying, but like it's still 30 games into the season. I wanted to see a little bit more before I say the door is slamming shut here. Yes, Junior, I didn't mention Treliving by name, but the Brandon Carlo trade was Treliving's trade. The Lawton trade was Treliving. And those are two first-round picks that we're talking about. Those are big assets to give up for what looks like a bottom-pairing defenseman right now who's big and strong but can't skate very well. And Lawton, who... I was expecting more from Lawton. When you gave up a first for him, I was expecting him to be, you know, Phil Dano. it's very difficult. It's very, very difficult for me to pinpoint exactly what the problem is. And I think that's been the problem, Trey Living's problem also. He wants a big, tough team to match his coach because his coach plays a big physical style. But they kind of got away from that top scoring team that they used to be that got them all that success before. They got away from it. They're not that team anymore.
Yeah, they tried to build for the playoffs, but completely evaporated what they did so well in season. You know what I mean? Like, Michelli was never going to be anything close to what Marner was providing. And as a collective, they didn't, those guys that they brought in with that cap that they saved, there was no way that was going to be any equivalent to how they were last year. You know, it's a really big piece they lost. And
Junior, you know? I'm not interrupting just to interrupt. Like Lawton, you gave up a first round pick for Lawton, right? Lawton is on pace for 24 points this year. He has the only thing saving him right now is he has a face-off percentage of 62%. It's the only thing that's saving him right now. Other than that, he's just not panning out.
So the biggest problem with Toronto right now is that they can't even fix this because they have no one to give to fix unless you're giving up Cowan or Danford. They have no first.
Supposed to be part of your solution.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. So now it's the players have to find a solution. And if they don't, then like Maple Leafs fans are going to be huddled in a corner, cradling.
You know who would fit really well on this team?
Dano.
No. Who would fit really well on this team would be a guy like Jordan Kyrou.
Yeah,
if you could get Kyrou out of St. Louis.
With what? You have no draft picks. Your next first round draft pick is 2028.
Yeah, it won't be a draft. It won't be a draft pick. Either way, they need the cap space to get this done.
But that's the problem.
Kyrou would look amazing, I think.
That's the problem right now in Toronto is they can't blow it up because they don't own their own first round picks. And they don't have enough assets anymore to try to improve this to the level that they need to improve it. What's the next step? The logical next step is Berube fires one of his assistant coaches and replaces him and hopes that that sparks something. But at the end of the day, the general manager hired someone that he likes, that he knows, which is Berube. So likely won't fire him. And the ownership, like Steve Dangle was saying, hired one of the guys they like. So like it's a country club again, something that they were trying to get out of when they had Shanahan, Babcock, and whoever else was at Lou Lamoriello. It was a country club, and they just recreated that in a different way now. And that's the frustration that these Leafs fans have, is that they're back to where they were. It was just an illusion, and now there's no way out. There's literally no way out unless the players buckle up and say, if you don't want to do it for the coach, do it for yourselves, you know? But... guys, this is going to be a... Even if they make the playoffs, I don't see them being that competitive, Nick.
It will be an interesting topic
playoffs
to
is
see.
A different, it's a different season. That's the only thing that I'll say is that when you actually get into the playoffs, it's not what got you there that means anything anymore. All that is thrown out the window. Now it's a one-on-one. It's a best-on-best. Let's hurt the other team. Let's make sure that they're not ready to play the next game.
Okay, Mark Bergevin. Yeah, let's go sign Steve Ott and Knight and all those big boys.
There's nobody that ever played. It's Dwight King, not Knight.
Nah, whatever, he signed three goons.
But the playoffs is a different animal completely. So, you know, I won't say that this team won't be good in the playoffs when they actually get there. That's all.
Next, Crosby passes today against Montreal. Passes Mario Lemieux for 8th all-time in points with 1,724 points. I mean, Crosby is one player who actually, followed the hype and kept up with the hype of when he started in the NHL. Does this make him a better player than Mario Lemieux?
Oof.
Your answer better be no.
Well, I mean, you're talking about two different generations, two different...
Yeah.
The fact that Crosby has been available every single year also helps, right? Because he's gotten to play more games and gotten all that stuff. And to be honest with you, when I remember Lemieux, I remember him as a kid. So watching him was like an awe-inspiring thing to watch Lemieux play at that time. Well, I was much older when Crosby came into the league, so I didn't have that same wide-eyed, bushy-tailed grin on my face.
But Junior?
Right? When Crosby came into the league, we hadn't seen something like that in a while, right? It was the transition from old-school hockey to new, what we know now as hockey. He's not as... I wouldn't say he's as good as Lemieux or whatever, but I will say he's more important to the NHL than Lemieux was because him, along with Ovechkin, saved the sport after the lockout.
That's a good point.
They were the Magic Johnson and Larry Bird of the NBA. That's what
and
it was.
He's so consistent. Like Crosby's just so consistent.
But Mario Lemieux was the most talented forward you can put on skates. Gretzky was the best player of all time in the NHL, but Mario Lemieux, talent wise, was the most talented player you can
that
see
would
on
be
skates.
One of the biggest mysteries that would stay unsolved is if
exactly.
Lemieux was healthy enough. Would he have competed with the Gretzky numbers?
Yeah. All right, so let's put these two together. Jacob Fowler gets his first shout-out to the Montreal Canadiens. Between Dobish, Montembeau, and Fowler, who is the odd man out?
Nick. I think...
Junior, go.
I think it's Fowler. I think it ends up being Fowler. I don't think Fowler is there yet to take that spot unless they make a trade. He's the easiest one to send down, go play in the AHL, and go do what you were doing, being one of the best goalie in the AHL. The fact that he's doing well, I think the objective they had in mind, the organization to bring him up, has worked so far, at least with Dobesh. So it was to create a spark, get the team back playing a well-structured game, allow time for the other goalies to find their game. Now, Montembeau was finally called up from his conditioning stint. He's going to join the team on Tuesday, although it seems likely that Fowler will get that start. If I had to guess, and there's no trades done, it's going to be Fowler, I think, the odd man out.
Nick?
I think whoever wins stays. This is a team that's trying to make the playoffs. They're not a team that's ready to, you know, oh, I don't want to hurt any feelings for Jacob Dobish, or I don't want to hurt any feelings for Sam Montembeau. I need wins. So whoever's winning stays. And right now, Jacob Fowler has had a very good start to his NHL career. I think he's at 9.15. In three games played, I think he's 9.15, his average. And he has one shutout in three games played. He looks very calm in the net. Is it too quick? I'm scared that it's too fast to bring him up right now. But it's him that decides this. It's not me that decides this. If, you know, Carey Price was also way too early for us to bring him up, but he managed to do something that other people haven't done before. So Fowler right now is at 9.15 save percentage, 50% quality start, one shutout, four games played, two wins, 2.49 goals against average. You can't tell me that this isn't better than every other goalie that we have so far.
It is, but you risk... Like, it's a small sample size, right? You don't know if he's ready for a whole NHL season or a half of NHL season, whether it's full-time or part-time as a 1B, whatever. And I think if you look back, I mean, Price still did his dues in the AHL. He still paid his dues in the AHL. Maybe a little bit longer would have helped even more. But I think the risk here is that you bring him up too soon and then you just... I don't want to swear. You just screw him up completely mentally after. If he slows down, you send him down, and then you're bringing him back up, and you're sending him back down. Like, I feel like when you're ready to call him up, it's because you're calling him up and you want him to stay regardless of how he's playing. You know what I mean? So I think I get it. He's winning now, but it's okay to send down a winning goalie if he's still in his developmental stage.
That depends on where the team is at.
You can't carry three goalies. Montreal can afford to carry.
You would trade
but right now you're carrying three goalies.
Dobesh can be sent down or no?
No. Now, from what I heard, he can't. He has to go through waivers. So that's why it's the only guys.
It's a good problem to have, though, if you're the Habs. Yeah. The difference is that you got to decide sooner or later, right? You can't have the Carolina situation right now.
Or Buffalo, too.
So I'm going to put... Buffalo. Okay, so... A few news and notes about injuries. Matt Zuccarello came back this week. JT Miller is out week to week. Nazar is out 4 weeks. Jarvis out on IR.
Oof, I forgot to put that on the sheet.
I put it. Don't worry about it. And Theodore and Eichel are both out week to week. Out of all these guys, like we've spoken about injuries and why guys are going down. Obviously, very condensed schedule with a lot of back-to-backs because of the Olympics. So out of these, like, I don't think it's bigger than Eichel and Theodore. Well, for Knicks fantasy teams, he just puts in the white flag.
Holy crap, his top four players are out.
Yeah. So, I mean, Junior, let's start with you. JT Miller, Jarvis, Eichel, Theodore. Who are the guys that, I mean, they're all going to be missed because they're all top guys, except for maybe Nazar. But
I mean, from a fantasy perspective, I think the obvious answer is probably Eichel. He produced the most out of all those guys. Did you mention the Jarry thing, or are we keeping that separate?
No, we're going to keep that thing separate.
Okay. Yeah, so I'd say Eichel is definitely the biggest loss. Jarvis, too, is an immense loss, and Nick has both of those guys. It's unfortunate, though, that Nazar got hurt. I'll say that much. Because with Bedard being out, Nazar was given the first-line center opportunity, and I would have loved to see what he could have done with that time on ice and that opportunity. So that sucks. Look, Theodor, again, look, he was on and off the first power play. He hasn't quite been himself yet. And JT Miller plays for the Rangers, so that doesn't really matter.
Nick?
You know, Zuccarello has 14 points in 17 games. That's quite impressive for a 38-year-old player.
First line with Hartman and Kaprizov.
Yeah, quite impressive. So I'm selling him in lava, whoever wants. But other than that, no, it's going to hurt. Like, I'm expecting Jackson Blake. Thank God I have him in LPHL, but I'm expecting him to take a step forward and have a little bit more opportunity. You can't replace Eichel. So it's just not my season. But hopefully after the Christmas break, these guys come back. I don't know. And JT Miller just hasn't produced. Nobody in New York has really done much.
Yeah. JT Miller was starting to pick it up finally, you know, but
yeah,
too bad.
But then everybody put them in the Pebble League and you got it. That's what it is. Tristan Jarry finally got traded to Edmonton. Had a good showing and now is hurt. Pickard was in Nets yesterday. Didn't look so well. They called up Ingram. Ingram's in Nets today, I think, against Vegas. They're winning 4-3. Is this Ingram's opportunity to show that he could still be an NHL goalie, Nick?
I think it's his opportunity. Whether he does it or not, that's going to be a whole different conversation. But it's his opportunity to actually showcase what he has. We've mentioned his stats before. They were actually pretty similar to Skinner's career-wise. So I don't know. He did have some good runs that got me excited for his trajectory. And then he entered the substance abuse program. So he missed some time and just came back from that and some conditioning stints in the AHL, I guess. But I just don't know what to expect from him moving forward. Is he another Skinner or is he better?
He's going to get his opportunity because Tristan, from what we're hearing, Tristan Jarry is out at least a few weeks right now. And they have no other goalie to call up. So it's him and Pickard right now. So, and if he wins against Vegas, he'll probably get the next start for Edmonton. Junior?
Yeah, he won't have a better opportunity than this because the last thing the Oilers want to do is go trade for another goalie, right? The solution has to be within until Jarry comes back. And look, 24 saves on 27 shots against the Vegas Golden Knights. Could be worse, right? So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. I'm not holding my breath, though, in starting him in fantasy leagues. You know what I mean? I'm not there yet.
Well, you know, I'm putting him on the block as soon as he wins his first game.
It's like all those GMs that put the Rangers players in their starting lineup for all week because they played 5 games.
Yeah, that was us. Okay, Chernysov for San Jose was in the AHL, got called up to the NHL team. 3 points in his only 3 games. And Colin Graf, also in San Jose, 6 points in the last 4 games. I mean, these are all young players for San Jose. Is the rebuild, how good is the rebuild looking right now, Junior?
Their rebuild is looking good. I mean, anytime you have Macklin Celebrini, your rebuild's fantastic. Let's be honest. Will Smith, Celebrini are the focal point, right? They have Sam Dickinson. They have Askarov. So, like, they're starting really to assemble something really, really good. Chernyshov, I think, is going to end up being a middle six player, middle six winger. He's doing well right now. And Graf was, I think he was signed as a college free agent. So I don't even know if he was drafted. Maybe you guys could double check that. I think these are guys that, like, you know, they'll go up and down the lineup, but I don't think they're staples in terms of point production down the line. I think Chernyshov has a higher upside for sure, though, over Graf.
Yeah, Graf was a college sign. He wasn't drafted. Nick?
not much to add. I mean, I think Junior's right on the money there. Chernyshov is the last main piece of that rebuild where he's going to be able to play with Celebrini on his wing or Will Smith or just keep adding names there. But he's going to be a winger that's going to produce for a long time in the NHL. So for you fantasy GMs that play Dynasty, if you could get trade for him, it might be your last chance now.
Well, they're both playing with Celebrini right now on the first line, so it'll be interesting to see. Finally, last one, Jonathan Berggren, who was traded from Detroit earlier in the year to St. Louis. Seems like he's coming into, I don't even know what the word to use, but 25 years old, and it finally seems like he's showing some steadiness in the NHL. He's playing with Robert Thomas and Buchnevich on the first line. Nick, what can you tell us?
You know, he was pretty much left for dead in Detroit. He just didn't fit on that team. I don't know what it was necessarily, but he, ever since he's come here, it looks like it's a change of scenery, right? And we've seen this story before, where a change of scenery might actually help him move forward with his career and actually be a decent point getter. If I'm not mistaken, I saw that Berggren had something like he was on pace for 46 points.
He has 10 points in 18 games.
Right, but he wasn't in Detroit all season, right? So he just joined St. Louis.
Yeah.
So again, I'm kind of seeing him as a maybe second line player, maybe third line player, but middle six moving forward. He's 25 years old, so this is his prime. Like, now is the time to do this.
Look, he's another player the Red Wing wasn't good enough for the Red Wings that's going to excel somewhere else, like Jake Wallman did. Remember when they paid to get rid of Jake Wallman? I think this was a waiver wire acquisition, right? He was put on waivers, acquired by St. Louis. So I'll see. Yeah, middle six. I mean, it's nice, though, to have that upside. Maybe ride the hand while it's hot and see where it goes. But I don't think you'll have important fantasy relevance down the line.
Anytime there is TMZ news in the Odd Man Rush, it always takes a long time. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the Odd Man Rush.
Odd Man Rush. Brought to you by Sportura.
To our next sponsor, the jaw-dropping moments that make hockey hockey. Experience them all with DraftKings Sportsbooks, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. Missouri listeners, listen up. DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in the Show Me State. New customers, there's one. This one's for you. Bet just $5, and if your bet wins, you'll get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code THPN. That's code THPN to turn $5 into $200 in bonus bets. If your bet wins, in partnership with DraftKings, the crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, pass-through of per pay wager tax may apply in Illinois. 21 plus age and eligibility varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Restrictions apply. Bet must win to receive bonus bets, which expire in 7 days. Minimum odds required. For additional terms and responsible gaming resources, see dkng.co/audio. Limited time offer. Copyright NHL 2025. All rights reserved.
That Nick affectionately calls Pebble, but no one else likes it.
Yeah, yeah. Another week is in the books in the PBLL Fantasy Hockey League, brought to you by none other than us and Kamish Batista. Nick, just a reminder, you're still on mute. Shout out to Vito P, who's currently first overall in the standings. But I want to point out listener Maverick, who by 0.6 edged out Drow22 for the most points in this period. And this is official because the Edmonton Oilers game versus the Vegas Golden Knights just ended. So let's just take a quick look at listener Maverick's team for this week.
For last guys, week.
From, well, yeah, for this last week that just happened. To have an idea of like what his strategy was and if that's something you guys can bank on going into next week. So he had as his centers Macklin Celebrini. Macklin Celebrini. Connor McDavid, who had like 20 points, I think, this week. William Eklund, Brad Marchand, Morgan Geeky, Adrian Kempe, which, by the way, I took him a week too early. Lane Hudson, Matthew Schaefer, and Scott Wedgwood. Now, to give you an idea of how effective his team was, Connor McDavid finished with 10 points. 10.93 fantasy points per game. Okay, so this week he had 43.7 fantasy points. Macklin Celebrini had 25 fantasy points. Brad Marchand, 20.9 fantasy points. And Morgan Geeky just under 20 at 18.6. That's a ridiculous, ridiculous, ridiculous outpour of points from a team. So congratulations to listener Mavericks. And because it was so close by 0.6, I want to go see Drew's team, Drow22's team, over the last 7 days here. He also had Celebrini and McDavid. He had Kyle Connor, Kirill Kaprizov, Ivan Demidov, Beckett Senecky, Lane Hudson, Jackson Lacombe, and Dennis Hildeby. Dennis Hildeby finished with 0.4 points. I think the difference here is the goaltending. Other than that, it was really, really close. Before we move on to the schedules of the week and what we think the strategy should be, I want to point out that because it is Boxing Day this week, we're not going to give you a special discount. We're just going to give you a free prize. Another free merch prize is scheduled for the winner of this next period that starts December 22nd and ends on December 28th. Do your lineups. You have an extra reason to finish first and beat the rest of us. Now, if one of us, me, co-host Nick, or producer Vince, do win, then it'll go to the second best player of that week. We just get bragging rights at that point. All right, going into the schedule. So this is a touchy schedule this week because there are no games whatsoever for anybody on December 24th, December 25th, and December 26th. For obvious reasons, it's the holiday break. So we have games on the 22nd, the 23rd, the 27th, and the 28th. Nobody plays more than three games this week. But what you really need to know is that the Utah Mammoth and the Winnipeg Jets only play one game. So you might want to stay away from those teams. I'll list you the teams that played three games, but at this point, three games or two games, I'm not sure it should play that much of a difference, especially given that whoever's playing three games has an automatic back-to-back. So Chicago, Detroit, LA, the Islanders, the Flyers, the Kraken, the Tampa Bay Lightning, Toronto Maple Leafs play three games this week. And the rest play two games, like I said before. So, guys, knowing all this, knowing what you know now, what worked last week, what the schedule is like this week, what's your focus point going into this week on your rosters? Vince?
Yeah, my focus point was to dress Rangers players last week, and it kind of didn't work. So we'll just keep on going with that. I concentrate on Philly players, because the strength of schedule is that they have the highest, like, they have the easiest strength of schedule, and Tampa Bay. So I mixed a bit of those two players together. Went more with ELC for Philly and the bigger players in Tampa. And hopefully, you know, I can get some kind of traction this week, because I haven't gotten any traction at all.
Yeah, since your boost up the standings a couple of weeks ago there.
This week killed me. All three teams were like way at the bottom. So, yeah.
Nick?
Well, I basically went ahead and grabbed. Hold on, let me just save this. One second. Anyways, I basically went ahead and grabbed a few players that are playing three times, and I focused on guys that are playing three times. Originally, I wanted one of the goalies from Philadelphia because I felt Philadelphia had a weak schedule, but I'm not too sure what's happening with Vladar. So instead, I pivoted, and I went with spending money on Sorokin, who's been one of the top 10 goalies in the league so far. I went with cheap centers in Celebrini and Carlson because they've just been putting up the points no matter what. So I wanted to spend my money somewhere else. And that's why I started looking at guys like Lucas Raymond from Detroit. They're playing three times this week. Adrian Kempe is playing three times this week. There's Kevin Fiala playing three times this week. Michkov is playing three times this week. So there's a few players there that I grabbed. As well, Schaefer is on the Islanders. They're playing three times this week. And another defenseman that I grabbed was, I can't remember it off the by heart now, but I'll let you know in like 2 seconds. Because I switched teams because I forgot that I had to do the rest of my lineup as well. But yeah, so I'm excited. I'm excited for this team. I think this week I'm actually going to be able to get some points again and hopefully I get out of the basement.
Did you guys take any players that are playing two games only?
Yes.
Okay.
Celebrini and Carlson are both guys that are playing two games this week. And they're just super cheap and they're top of the lineup players. So
okay, yeah. I see.
For me, that's the way I went.
I feel like one of my biggest faults in the last couple of weeks, when we first started, I put an emphasis on goalies, and I feel like it helped because goalies provide a lot of points.
Sorry, but Darren Radish is the defenseman that I picked.
Oh yes, played three times versus St. Louis, the Panthers, and the Canadians. Yeah,
he's been on fire.
This week, I want to put that emphasis back on goaltending. I followed Nick's lead for some stupid reason last week, and I took Hildeby, and that backfired big time, especially with Wolf coming back. We didn't know that at the time.
No, we didn't know that.
But this week, the way their schedule plays out is the Anaheim Ducks play on December 22nd, and then they play the first game after the break. So I don't foresee Husso or whoever the backup is at this point in Anaheim playing a game. That's going to be Dostal. That's two low-scoring teams. So give me Dostal as my goaltender there. And where was I? I think I'm going to do the stupid thing here. At this point, I don't even know what's going to work. But I'm going to go with Leafs players. I think their schedule is not great. I mean, their opponents are not the greatest in sense of like defensively, I guess. So they play the Penguins, and then they play back-to-back Ottawa and Detroit. So I think those are all games that could revive the Toronto Maple Leafs offense. So I'm probably going to get a guy like Tavares there that only makes 4.something million, maybe a Nice. I might stay away from the high contracts to try to fill up the rest of my team. So, yeah, that's what I'm thinking going into this week. And I just want to point out two things. That Colorado is playing Utah and the Vegas Golden Knights this week. They only play two games, but I feel like those are two high-scoring games. And the Edmonton Oilers are playing the Battle of Alberta twice this week as well. So that should be an interesting matchup, something to look into if you need like a cheaper contract, like a Hyman at $5 million or Nugent Hopkins. That's power play points anytime they're on the ice, right? So, yeah, just a couple of things to look into heading into the week. You guys, anything you want to add before we end this bad boy?
All good.
Nothing else.
And
except because the stream merch that's included, we're probably going to be all in the top 5 points this week.
I wouldn't be upset. Guys, another episode in the books. Like Vince said, it went a little longer than we thought. Or not that we thought, but that it usually does. We just want to thank you once again heading into the holiday break. We're very thankful for your support, for your engagement. And, you know, just keep liking, subscribing on YouTube. Keep following us on our socials at Partial Break Pod, Instagram, X, TikTok. We do this for fun. And we do it for you guys, but also for us. Like, we'll be honest. We love doing this, and we're going to keep doing it until we're blue in the face. Whether you're 100 people, 1,000 people, 1 million, the billions, or the trillions, like Vince likes to say. So thank you, and happy holidays from my behalf. And maybe the guys want to add something.
Spend time with your family. Spend time with your loved ones. It's a very important. Be safe. Don't drink and drive. There's a lot of people on the roads that are going to be coming back from parties this week. So just be careful out there.
Hey, bro. RDP. Not St. Leonard, bro. RDP. Okay? Hey, guys. Why didn't the two skeletons fight? Because they had no guts.
It's better than last week's.
It's better than last week. I'll give you that one, too. Then. Have a good week, everybody, and good luck. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays, guys. Stay safe.